that we dedicate to prayer, and we start with a little bit of teaching on prayer, and then we do some prayer and worship. But we're just going to ask God I know he's here. We brought him. Amen. So we're just going to ask God to open our hearts tonight to the teaching of his word. And Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that your word says that even when there are two gathered in your name, that you are there in the midst of us. And so, Father, we thank you that you are here. You're here by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just offer this time to you to speak into our hearts, to grow us by your word. And Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just lead us and guide us in the direction you would have us to go tonight. And we give you praise and honor and glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tonight, I've got about 100 directions. Brother Bob said, "So are you ready?" I said, "I'm ready." the things that have been coming up in my spirit about prayer have a lot to do with just some of the things I've been studying in the Word, but also some of the things I've been seeing in the church. I see some things sometimes, and for me, sometimes I learn what something is by reading about, okay, this is what it is, and this is what God says about it. I read about it in the Word. But then sometimes I step back and I say, but is that what I'm seeing? Or am I also learning? Sometimes we learn by knowing what it isn't, right? We have a lady in our church that's a math professor, and I think sometimes her students will go through things and they'll learn about what something their answer isn't, and it makes them then go back and look, well, what is it then? And so I was kind of looking at some of that, and as I was reading through some scripture this week, I was looking at, okay, so what is prayer anyway? And prayer, all it is simply communion with God. Now, we have maybe heard it being said that it's talking to God, but you can talk to God and it's maybe not prayer. Just like I can talk to any of you, but I'm not praying to you, but we can have a conversation. But when we're talking about communion with God, there are a couple of things that are always there. And the first thing is his presence. Amen. And his presence shows up. Now, we know God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But his presence isn't always manifested. He's always there, but we've all been at the place where we understand, yes, God is there and his presence is here, but then we've been in those places where it's absolutely manifested and we know it's there. And a lot of times, Christians, we like that manifested presence of God. We like to see it happen. We know that when God is manifestly present in a place, things happen, like people become born again. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. There are healings that take place in the manifested presence of God. And that's what God's presence manifested is. But when we're getting in this place of prayer, we're in communion with him. We are in this place of intimate oneness, so to speak. And so in Matthew 21, get there. There is nothing like a new Bible, is there? Nothing's underlined, nothing's marked. It's on the wrong side of the page. Matthew 21, in verse 12, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants and their customers. He knocked over the tables of money changers and the stalls of those selling doves, and he said this, "The scriptures declare, my house, my temple, will be called a place of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves." Now look what happened as soon as he made that declaration. My house will be called a house of prayer. The blind and lame came to him, and he healed them there in the temple. Right there. And, you know, and then it goes on, and the children were being brought. So there, what happened was, once he declared, hey, this is a house of prayer, miracles started happening. Right there. Right there. And so a house of prayer, there was an awareness of the presence of God. And so what is prayer? It's communion with God. There's this awareness of God's presence right there. Now, it's not talking to people over God's shoulders. And I heard this described several years ago. I believe it was Brother Keith Moore that was talking about how people are talking to God, are praying over God's shoulder to the people, or to God. They're acting like it's to God. And they'll say things like, oh, Father, now you know these people ought to be more faithful. And you know that they should be coming with, and that's talking to the people, really, is that that's not prayer. That's not really talking to God. And so so prayer is not talking to the people over God's shoulders. Now, there is a time and a place that we are to take authority and we are to rebuke Satan. But when we're in a place of communion and prayer in the presence of God, we're in the throne room. And so prayer isn't necessarily yelling at the devil. We're talking to the wrong one. If we're in the throne room, we got to put the sword down and say, "Here I am, Father." We're not yelling and rebuking the devil in the throne room. We're communing with God. Now, there is a time and a place for that. But a lot of times we, I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, the church that I was attending in Killeen, Texas, we had prayer on Saturday nights, always. And there was this one lady, and she spent the entire, and sometimes it was an hour, sometimes it was 2 hours, depending on what was going on. But she spent the entire time talking to the devil. And I remember Pastor Terry Whitley going up to her one night. I mean, I think he had watched it for week after week. And I was kind of close by, but not close enough. And I was brand new, fresh, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I used to think it was kind of weird. All she's doing is talking to the devil. That's weird. And so one night he just walked up to her and he said, "Now, sister, the devil's heard you. Now, I want you to start talking to God." And he just walked away and she just sat there. But that made an impact on me, you know, because and then he had taught on, you know, how to take authority and rebuke the devil and all those things. But when we're talking about prayer, we're talking to God. We're communing with God. It's also not rehashing the problem over and over again. You know, if I walked into Jeff's office and I laid across the desk and I went, "Oh, Jeff, oh, honey, you won't believe it." He'd be like, "What?" Right? Sit down. Tell me. Get it out. Tell me what you're telling me. But sometimes our prayer, our what we call prayer, is no more than a whining and complaining session where we're rehashing the problem over and over again. And that's not prayer. When prayer is one of those things that's done in faith. And when you're in faith, what's coming out of your mouth is the word of God. And so speaking the word of God in prayer, that's a good thing. But it's coming out of our mouth. It's not rehashing the problem. Now, I want you to look really quickly in Isaiah. I saw this scripture today, and I went, ooh. Isaiah 56. If I can find it. Isaiah 56, let's start with verse 6. "I will also bless the Gentiles who commit themselves to the Lord and serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest and who have accepted his covenant. I will bring them also to my holy mountain of Jerusalem," and here we go, "and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer." One way we know that we're actually praying and not just whining is when we're filled with joy, because we know that we have a Father who's hearing us. Our Father is hearing us, and he is hearing his word come out of our mouths, and it's not returning void, and we know it. Brother Bill Horn said something that just kind of... I didn't have boots on, but it like shook me in my boots when he said it. But he was talking about the word of God. The Bible says it does not return void, but it prospers to where it's sent. Okay? And so he said that the earth was formless and void. And then what happened? God spoke and it filled the void. And so when there's a situation that there's a void, when we speak God's word into it, it fills the void. It fills the void. And I've been meditating on that all week. God's word fills the void. It's not, I know there are times that the Bible talks about weeping and that type of thing. But when we know our God, he said he would bring us to the house of prayer in joy. Enjoy. It's also, and we know this, it's also not counting beads and spinning wheels, and there are all kinds of things that people have done and called it prayer. It's not, you know, chanting memorized phrases and paragraphs. It's a living communication with a living God. Amen. And so when we are in the midst of praying, you know, sometimes we do things a certain way because we've always done it that way. You may have heard the story of the young lady that called her mother to learn how to make a ham. And she said, "Well, you just cut the ends off and stick it in the pan," and she told her how to do it. "Well, why do you cut the ends off?" "Well, I don't know. That's the way Grandma always did it." And so she called Grandma, and she said, "Well, Grandma, why do you cut the ends off of the ham?" And she said, "Because that's how it would fit in my pan." So sometimes we've done things for years and years because that's how it fits in our pan, not having any clue about how and why and what the Word says. You know, we have an opportunity a lot of times to fellowship with people of different denominations, and they're very good friends of ours. And we were in a situation, it's been a couple of years ago, but I was in this room with all of these other homeschooling moms, and I was just sitting there and listening to them talk. And I, you know, you can't just say, well, that ain't Bible. But I said, you know, I've never seen that in the Word of God. Can you all show me where that is? And one lady, she was bold. She said, well, I don't know if it's in the Bible, but that's just how we've always done it. And that's how we've always believed it as this certain denomination. And I said, huh. Well, I've seen this in the Bible, and this is why I believe it. Oh, well, we don't believe that. Well, can you show me in the Bible then what it is that you believe? Because I am open to learning. Well, I don't know if it's in there. That's a ham that we've cut the ends off of to put in the pot. And so my question always to people, you know, I don't ever want to come across as I have full understanding and know everything. Because I learn a lot from brothers and sisters of different denominations. But you got to show me in the Word. And if people will show me in the Word, I mean, we've all probably found something in the Word or seen something in the Word through somebody, and we're like, well, that's not what I've been believing for 30 years. Ooh, I got to change that. So we've got to be willing to do that, even with prayer. Even with prayer. And so we're going to be praying tonight, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe the Amplified says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued, effectual prayer makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And so we're going to be praying tonight. Some of the things that are on my heart this week, and y'all may have something completely different that we can agree with. But there is, right now in our area, God love Facebook, you know, all these things. But right now in our area, there is this immense spirit of fear that's trying to come on people because of, something called enterovirus D86, with kids. It's basically a bad cold, and some kids that have had lung issues don't respond well. There have, just today, there was a confirmed case of Ebola in the U.S. And people are absolutely freaking out. And so, you know, one of the things that I know in these last days, and you all know this too, is that we're going to have to know what the Word of God says. And we're going to have to be able to pray the Word of God and believe the Word of God and stand on the Word of God. And so my heart is to pray for some of these people that are really succumbing to the spirit of fear, because a lot of them are Christians. They know God. And, you know, not long ago when the whole enterovirus thing started, I had it in my heart to put a scripture from Psalm 91 on my Facebook post. I just put it on there. And I just, did you just do that? Yeah, there you go. And I posted that, and I just basically said, you know, this is what we need to be speaking over our children and our families. And I was really surprised. I don't always go to see who likes the stuff and all that. But with that, I want to know who's receiving this. And four Baptist pastors' wives had liked it. And I'm like, oh, they believe it. Yes. Well, now we can come together and agree. And so I contacted all four of them. And I just said, are you teaching this to your mamas in your church? Because I believe this. And then I gave even some more scripture. And they were like, oh, okay, we've never even seen it that way. So we're going to have to be strong in the word and what it says and in prayer and that type of thing. And so I do want to open it up. If you all have anything else on your heart this week that we need to pray for, we'll be believing God for the safety of all the riders down in Louisiana right now. Anything else that y'all have?
Individually, as the Lord leads you, and then we'll just close corporately.